Good morning, church. It is an honor to be with you here this morning. Pastor Jason is actually on vacation. He's able to see his family for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, which is fantastic. And so that gives me an opportunity to be with you here this morning and share God's word, which I love to do. So that's fantastic. The Lord has blessed us with a little bit of a surprise this morning. As I was doing announcements, I looked back in the corner and saw my family back there. So, hey guys, good to see you. That's pretty cool because usually I get to share Thanksgiving with them, but this year we weren't able to because we had the honor and blessing of being able to share Thanksgiving with my wife's side of the family. So it's pretty cool that they're there here. So thanks guys for coming. Thanksgiving. Was Thanksgiving great for you all? Have your good... sweet potato pie and everything like that. Hopefully you got your fill and your fill of family as well. I think actually, I think actually Thanksgiving is kind of a ploy for family to get together. And what we do is we put safety nets around it like food, just in case somebody's saying something that they shouldn't. You're like, hey, have you tried this sweet potato pie? You're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And if you're like, no, we don't have any of that, you're that person in that family. I've learned that because I'm the person in the family. Like, hey, have some more food. No, I'm kidding. I love Thanksgiving. It actually comes with a lot of nostalgia for me. I lived in Gaylord, Michigan, and so the nostalgia behind Thanksgiving was jumping in the car and us taking a three-hour ride down to Grand Haven, and I love just the family time that you have and being able to get together, and you know, we never did this as a family, but I think a lot of people do this. Lunch is ready, it's on the table, you're about to dig in, you grab the fork, it's poised, you're ready to go. And then someone says, hey, let's take a minute and think about and talk about the things that we're thankful for. And you're like, I'm thankful for this pork that's about to go in the sweet potatoes. And so you're like, okay, let's do that. And so we all take a moment and we go around the table and we say what we're thankful for. And really what that is it's kind of like just us counting our blessings and sharing that with people. I think that's a tremendous thing within Thanksgiving. And something that I don't usually do, but I did this year, was watch the Macy's Day Parade. Am I saying that right? Macy's Day Parade. Yeah. I don't usually watch that, but that was on this year. And I was just watching it and really thinking, wow, this is crazy. This is really cool. There, not only are people like coming together, it's this huge parade in New York City. And everybody's like together and smiling and like loving on each other and like shaking hands. And it's like this goodwill towards men that we don't usually see throughout the year. But this one day a year, Christians, non-Christians, everybody can come together, like shake hands and get along because we're counting our blessings and we're talking about what we're thankful for. And then that made me think, I was like, wow, like that's a really cool thing that we're seeing just within this one city. Like, why don't we see this more in our church? And when we do see it in our church, that's a really awesome thing. But should our Thanksgiving, like, why do we count our blessings? What's the purpose in that? And so instead of like coming to you this week and doing a regular, hey, you need to be thankful because it's Thanksgiving, I wanna start asking the question, why are we thankful? Like, why do we count our blessings? And if we're counting our blessings, how is it different than somebody that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? How is it different from them counting their blessings? Because really, these people that are counting their blessings, they're saying the same exact things as we are. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends and my job. And who are they thankful to? And why are they thankful? Does that ever run across your mind? It had me a little bit perplexed this week, and that was, I was like already preparing this message, and I watched this, and I was like, wait a second, this is like a perfect intro. why are we thankful, and why do we count our blessings? Well, the cool thing is we're going to be in God's Word, and God's Word speaks to this, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke 17, 11 through 19. That's where we're going to be spending the majority of our time this morning. And we want to answer the question this morning, why is it so important to count our blessings? Why is it so important to count our blessings? Luke 17, 11 through 19. And I just want to give you a little bit of context here in this passage. This is very near to the end of Jesus' ministry, okay? And so he's on his final trek through Mesopotamia or the Middle East. And his name is becoming very well known to a lot of people, okay? So they've heard about this man who can calm the seas. They've heard about this man who raises the dead. They've heard about this man who has healed the sick. Jesus' name is huge at this time, okay? And he actually has probably stirred up some trouble here because he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus did, and all of a sudden, Jesus isn't headed to Jerusalem anymore in a direct path, but now he's headed to Jerusalem in a roundabout way. So Jerusalem is directly north from him when he raises Lazarus from the dead. And it says, on his way to Jerusalem. So all of a sudden, he heals Lazarus, and then he goes north. But Jerusalem is south. So he's kind of going around this roundabout way, maybe in hopes that he's deterring some of the people for a while, because they want to get a hold of Jesus. He knows his time has come. He knows his time is near. So he's in this city, or in this village, probably called Ephraim. And we're going to pick it up in verse 11. Are you ready? On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And so the first thing that we see here in why it's so important to count our blessings is this, that we need God's blessings. Right? We need God's blessings. I tell my students this oftentimes, insert yourself into this story. Where do you lie? Who do you relate with in this passage? And I think oftentimes we're like, well, I'm for sure one of the disciples. I think that's a little bit different in this story, though. We see that Jesus, when he's entering this village, we see he's met by lepers. The funny thing about lepers is that they're outcasts. They're not allowed to be in the city. That's why Jesus is met by them. And so as I was beginning my study of what leprosy was, I was a little bit disappointed because I had always learned that leprosy was this horrible disease and that people's arms would fall off, right? And so I started to study, and there was actually a process in Leviticus 13 and 14 that actually talks about the process of finding out whether you really have leprosy, because there are so many skin conditions that would mimic leprosy. And so people would get really scared when they were like, "Oh my goodness, I have leprosy." But then I found that sometimes the skin would just heal itself. Well, that wasn't real leprosy. Real leprosy is horrible. Real leprosy has huge consequence, not just because of the nature of the disease that destroys the body, but because of the cultural ramifications of it. There's, in Leviticus 13 and 14, if you have leprosy, you are cast out of the city walls, cast out of the village. If you have a family, you don't see them anymore. If you had a job, you don't have a job anymore. This is a horrible, horrible disease. Culturally, but it's also a horrible, horrible disease physically. This disease is known as Hansen's disease nowadays. It actually attacks the skin and the nerves. It causes neuropathy or numbness. And so what that does is that means you can hurt yourself very severely and not feel it, okay? So there have been many, many cases where somebody will be walking along and twist and break their ankle. And they know that something's happened, but they'll keep walking. They'll just adjust how they walk, and they keep walking on a broken ankle. There's also a case where this missionary was in Africa, and he needed to get into a medical closet, and he had a rusty padlock with a rusty key, and he was trying to open it. He was twisting and twisting, full-grown man, could not get it open. And this 10-year-old boy said, "Hey, can I try that?" And the missionary's like, "Sure, go ahead." And the 10-year-old boy grabs it and opens the lock. And this guy looks and he's like, "Holy, how did that happen? Like, what?" And then he looks down and there's a pool of blood on the ground. And he looks over at this 10-year-old boy, and the boy had almost completely taken his finger off because he couldn't feel the fact that he was turning so hard that he was damaging his own body. Leprosy is a horrible, horrible disease. People wouldn't die of the disease itself, but they'd usually die of the infections that it causes. And they wouldn't tend to the wounds, and it would be infected, and then the infection would take over their body, and they would die from that. It also attacks the internal organs. It attacks the larynx. So if you had a strong voice, now imagine these men, they're calling out to Jesus, probably not in a strong voice. Leprosy attacks the voice. So if you had a strong voice, it's probably weak and raspy. And as it becomes systemic, as it starts to cut the blood off to your body, your hands will actually begin to shrivel up and bring your fingers in, so your hand will start to absorb the fingers. And sometimes fingers will fall off. And way back in the day, people would fall asleep with some of their extremities and then wake up to a rat that's just gnawed off their hand. It's a horrible, horrible disease. Are we getting the picture yet? Hopefully this isn't ruining your Thanksgiving. The bone marrow begins to dry up, extremities are absorbed, teeth fall out, fingers and toes have a tendency to fall off. The nickname of this disease is the silent killer because it has no pain to it. The reality of it is, guys, is that we have a silent killer in our life. Our silent killer is sin. We're the lepers. We're the lepers. Sometimes it starts out small, right? And in this day, if you see a patch of skin and you're like, "Oh my goodness, is this leprosy?" Your heart drops and sinks, and you're like, "I have to go to the priest, and there's an 8-day process, and they're going to have to tell me if this disease means I'm out of my family, out of everything. Like, this disease is going to wreck me." So maybe they hide it at first, and they're like, "Oh no, like, I don't want anybody to see this because I don't want this ramification to destroy my life." And we do that with sin too. Sin sometimes creeps into our heart, creeps into our life, and we're like, "Man, I gotta hide this thing because what happens if somebody finds out? And then my family doesn't want to be around me. Maybe my job's at stake. Maybe whatever." That's how it can start, right? We're sick. We're these people. We need God's blessings in our life. And then as the sin kind of takes over, we can't think about anything else except for the sin. And everything that we do, everything that we say can kind of just take or go back to that sin. It begins to creep up on us. It takes over. And then the worst part is this, is when the sin becomes systemic in our life, our extremities fall off. And I'm not talking about hands here. Sometimes we lose our relationships. This thing becomes so great that the lifeblood of Jesus that's supposed to be impacting our hearts and our lives day in and day out doesn't impact our friends, doesn't impact our coworkers, doesn't impact our family, because the sin is taking over. And so the lifeblood of Jesus in the work of the gospel doesn't flow into those areas of our life. And we begin to see our relationships fall by the wayside. And we begin to see family members, and we turn from our family members because we love our sin. All the while, our heart is continuing to die because this silent killer is taking over. Why do we count our blessings? Because we need God's blessings. And I'm not talking about just needing God's blessings, like needing his stuff. Like, that's a blessing that I can breathe in air right now. I'm talking about God's blessing in a healing faith, in a relationship with him day in and day out that impacts every area of our life. It's not just important to maintain relationships. It's not just important so that we have we can experience peace and joy. That is important. We love that. But it's important because we need it. Or we continue to destroy ourselves. Why do we need to count God our blessing? Because we're needy. We need God's blessings. Why else do we count God's blessings? Two is because we don't have any control over it, right? Imagine these men all standing here. They're seeing Jesus come forward. And what's their response as they see him coming? They say in verse 13a, Jesus, Master. These men know that their lives are at stake. They're not even just their lives are at stake, but their whole like being, everything that they do, everything that their life consists of, they have no control over it. The only hope, they have no hope. The only hope that they had, it was Leviticus 13 and 14, in going to the priests and hoping that they aren't going to be sent outside of the village because they have leprosy. Their only hope was the fact that they didn't have leprosy, but they do. And so they say, Jesus, Master. Could you imagine the conversations that they might be having with themselves? Oh my goodness, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. This man controls the sea. Surely he can control this disease. This man has healed many sick. Surely he can heal us. Can you imagine that? Their hope is Jesus. Why is it Jesus? Because they know who he is. They've heard what he's done. And so what? So what do we do? Just what these men do. Verse 13, we cry out, right? Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. This is a request for God's blessing. They know that there's no hope in the life that they're continuing to live. They know that they have no control over what's going on. They know that the blessing only comes from God. And so they say, have mercy on us. Why is this so important? Like we can read through this and we like, man, great story. This is so important because it speaks into daily relationship with Jesus. This is not a one-time thing. We don't just like get saved and never struggle with sin anymore, right? Like I wish that was the case. We don't just get saved and God like picks us up and brings us to heaven. No, we struggle with our sin daily. We struggle with our need daily. This is why this is so important when you look at this. It's these men exclaiming that Jesus is Master, proclaiming his goodness, and asking for his blessing, and asking for his mercy. That's daily life with Jesus. If there's a day that I don't need Jesus, if there's a day that I don't need Jesus, I don't know, I'm going to go celebrate sometime. Go to Disney World or something. We need Jesus daily. So why do we count our blessings? How does it look different from society counting their blessings to us counting our blessings? We know the source. We know our need. We need God's blessings. That's why we count it. That's how it looks different. Why do we count our blessings? We need God's blessings. And number two is this. God gives blessings. God gives blessings. In verse 14, it says, when he saw them, this is Jesus, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. This is a big deal. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. The first portion of this, go and show yourselves to the priests, it doesn't make sense. when they hear this, they're like, wait, what? I've heard that you heal. I've heard that, like, in your power, like, you can do tremendous things, but you're telling me to go and show myself to the priest. I showed myself to the priest. That's why I'm here. So here's the reality. God gives blessings in uncertainty. Even when we can't see how he's working and how he's moving, he still blesses. Because he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. These men don't like the priests. These men actually might be thinking, by the way, Jesus, the reason I'm here is because of the priests. So thanks. Jesus says, no, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they go, they're healed. God's blessing and uncertainty. I had a youth pastor up in Gaylord who he lost his 19-year-old daughter into a car accident. Now, I'm going to do quotations. Stick with me here. He thought he lost his daughter to a car accident in Indiana, Taylor University. And we had a funeral for her. She's a friend of mine. We had a funeral for her, buried who we thought was our friend. And she didn't die. There's a mistaken identity. She ended up living and was in a coma in a hospital for a while. We up in Gaylord buried a girl that we thought was Whitney. It wasn't. It was a horrible mess. But within this mess, I remember standing next to my youth pastor, and this man just loves Jesus like crazy. And I remember him saying, I don't know what's going on. I'm uncertain of what the Lord is doing here. But I want you to know, there are many, many people who came to know Jesus through this. She had such an impact in other people's lives and hearts, in the community, at the school that she was at, that in her passing, people were like, there was something different about her, and they heard a gospel message at a funeral. And they're like, I need that. I need Jesus. And so I remember Newell, that was their youth pastor, he said, I don't know what's going on. It's uncertain. But I know that there's blessing here because so many have come to know the Lord. God blesses in uncertainty. It just so happened that it worked out that Newell received his daughter back, and it was fantastic. But it doesn't always work out that way. Are there areas in your life where you're like, God, like, I don't know what you're doing. Why are things so hard? Go show yourselves to the priest. Right, I know you told me to do this. I don't get it though. Just go show yourselves to the priest. God blesses in uncertainty. And then he also blesses graciously. As they went, they were healed, right? Why did Jesus heal them? Because he's gracious, because he's good. He didn't say, hey, do 1,000 Hail Marys, or do make sure you go and you feed the poor and make sure you do this and then I'll heal you. No. Have mercy on me, Lord. Like, will you heal me? Yeah, I'll heal you. Jesus is gracious. He's not just gracious to the lepers, he's gracious to us. We need daily relationship with him. And this is why we can run to Jesus with our sin day in and day out. We don't have to be afraid of Christ making us earn something back. Like, make sure you pray to me and then I'll forgive you. I'm like, Jesus, no, I'll heal you. What an amazing God we serve. He heals us graciously. He also blesses us in uncertainty. Why do we count our blessings? The third reason why is that whether or not we know it, we respond to God's blessings. Whether or not we know it, we respond to God's blessings. Verse 15 through 18 reads this, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" This man just experienced the tremendous power of God. Not just this man, but 10 of them together. And the reality of it is, day in, day out, we experience tremendous blessing from the Lord. So you just saw me breathe. That's a blessing. I see families around, husbands with arms around their wives. That's a blessing. Relationship is blessing. What does this man do with his blessing? Now picture it. He's alone by himself. He probably hasn't experienced some of the feasts or Thanksgiving, if you will, their Thanksgiving. He probably hasn't had an average like work day. He hangs out with these guys and they're all sick. They're kind of waiting just pretty much to die at this point. And so he's experienced this tremendous blessing of healing in his life. And could you imagine? Like, what do you want to do in that time? You're healed. I want to go hold my kids. I want to go hold my wife. I want to be with my family I haven't seen. I want to do these things that I've been missing out on all this time. So really what we're saying is, I kind of want God's stuff. I kind of want God's blessings. But I've missed the best thing, which is Jesus. This man, he has 4 responses. This man is filled with gratitude. And so what does it do? It pushes him. His inward gratitude pushes him to an outward worship. His inward gratitude pushes him into an outward act of worship. This is why it's so important to count our blessings. This is why our blessings should be different than society's. Because society can just say, man, like, I'm thankful for that. I don't hear many people say, I'm thankful that I'm such a hard worker. Like, I'm so thankful that I went to medical school, and I'm so thankful that I became a doctor, and I'm so thankful that I make all this money, and I'm so thankful, and so on and so forth. I don't see many people say, they just say, I'm thankful. Thankful to who? Thankful to what? This is what makes our blessings different. We know where our blessings come from. What does your blessing cause you to do? That's the question, because these people can recognize their blessings. We can recognize our blessings. What do we do with our blessings? Does it cause you to go and prostrate yourself before the Lord in worship? This is daily relationship with the Lord. This is why we're called to find joy in our lives and to be thankful at all times. Philippians chapter 4. Be thankful for what he's done and how he moves and how he works. And this man, he does 4 things. He turns to Jesus because of his blessing, right? He turns back. He's headed to go see the priests. He's experienced the cleansing. He's like, no way. Like, these priests, okay, fine. Maybe they'll give me some things that I can go back to my house and my family, but I got to go see this Jesus guy. I've just experienced something tremendous. I just experienced the work of the Lord. I need to go back. The second thing he does is he praised God. Think about his voice. Probably raspy, and now it says in a loud voice, he praises him. Thank you, God, for what you've done. The third thing, he falls on his face. He falls on his face before the Lord because he's experienced his goodness. And then the fourth thing, he gives thanks. He thanks him. Why do we count our blessings? Why is it so important for us to carry out a relationship with Jesus day in and day out? It's because it should manifest something in us, stir our hearts to worship the one that's worthy to be worshiped. Do you see that in your life? Are you stirred by the blessings that you have in your life to prostrate yourself before the Lord and thank him? The second thing, the second way that we respond, we either respond in this way or we respond in the second way, which is this. We get distracted. We get distracted by the blessing, and that becomes our prize. We just talked about it. They're missing so much in their life. And I'm so guilty of this. Like, my heart goes out to these guys because I'm one of them. They want to get back to their family. They want to get back to work. They want to get back to providing. I had some recent, like, just health things. They're not serious, so please don't be worried. But they scared me. I turned 30 and my body's falling apart. What happened? Right? And you guys are all like, shut up. But I experienced some things. I had some lumps in my arms and in my back, and I was like, man, what is going on? And so I called the doctor. I set up an appointment, and I got in quick. I mean, I only had a few days to wait, and I'm sitting here thinking, what if this is cancer? And I'm like, God, like, come on. Like, I want to be around for my kids. Like, is some other guy going to be raising my kids? Is my wife going to be married to somebody else? Like, what's going on here? You want to know why? Because I want God's blessings more than I want God. Shouldn't there be something? We have faith, right? We have faith in Jesus. We have faith that Jesus has done the work on the cross, that one day we're going to go and experience eternity with him. There's a better day than today. And yet when it comes down to it, and something as small as a lump in your arm can make you question God's goodness, it shows you that you want God's blessings, you want God's stuff more than you want God. Revealed my heart a little bit. I had to repent a little bit and then thank the Lord that it was nothing. How are you responding to God's blessings? This is why it's so important. It's so important to count our blessings, because no matter what, we are responding to them. It's just a matter if you're cognitively responding to them in thankfulness and praise, and that drives you to worship, or you're responding in a distraction where God's blessing becomes the prize and that he isn't. And the two are so close that it's hard to spot until you have a few lumps in your arm that you need to get taken care of. Why do we count our blessing? Why do we count our blessing? Because we're needy. We need God's blessings. Because God gives blessings. And because we respond to God's blessings. And the fourth one here is the last one. It's very simple. And this is actually a proof of the second miracle in here that we never acknowledge, okay? Are you ready? I shouldn't say we never acknowledge. We have a hard time acknowledging. It says here in verse 19, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So we've seen this tremendous that Jesus is a source of power. We've seen this miracle. And at the end, Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And the common response or the common thought is, oh, wow, this man had so much faith that Jesus healed him. And this is where we get into some church theology where you can be healed by anything if you have enough faith. Now, here's the deal. I've seen many people in my life who have died from sickness or something horrible has happened to them and God hasn't healed them. And they had tremendous faith in Christ. This word here, well, is actually, it's an okay translation, if you'll go with me on that. Made you well. Your faith has made you well. This in the original Greek is actually, the word is sozo. It means saved. And so Jesus isn't saying, hey, I healed you because you had faith in me. Because that goes directly against God's character, right? God heals and saves because he's gracious. He says, go your way. You've been saved. That's what he says. our fourth and greatest blessing is our saving faith in Jesus. This man, I don't know that this man knew that Jesus was going to the cross to die for his sin. But this man has seen the work and the power in Jesus, acknowledges that he's God, worships him, and knows that he needs him. And Jesus is on his way to die for him. And we all know the story. He was whipped, he was beaten, he was nailed to a cross, and 3 days later he rose. It's not your faith that healed you, friend. It's not that you're so good that Jesus wants you. It's that you believed. Your faith in his saving power has saved you. Where are you with that today? This is actually the promise and the truth that should drive our daily relationship with Jesus. Restore in me the joy of my salvation, David proclaims in Psalms 50, 52, 55, something like that. Restore in me the joy of my salvation. Why do I need joy in my salvation? Because joy in my salvation makes me turn to Christ. It makes me want to turn back. It makes me want Jesus more than his blessings. Man, why do we count our blessings? How is it different? This is good. I love to see people count their blessings. This is better because I love to see people count their blessings and love Jesus a crazy ton because of the blessing. Because that's really what the blessing in our life is supposed to do, is to draw us in closer to Jesus. Do you see it? It's not your work. It's Jesus' work. He's done it. Do you have that in your walk? And don't try to earn it. Just run to Jesus and tell him you need him. Have mercy on me. Day in and day out. This is a walk with the Lord. This is why we get together on November 25th or 22nd. I don't even know what day it is. And we get together and with our families, our crazy families. And we're thankful for each other in the midst of our craziness. Because they're a blessing. And because even in the midst of a crazy family, we should be stirred for Jesus and the fact that we have the blessing of relationship, the blessing of eating, the blessing of being together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for the work on your cross and the truth that it brings salvation and joy in our lives. Lord God, we just thank you for a day to remind us, Thanksgiving Day, of the blessings that you've given us and bestowed in our lives. And so, God, would you just use those blessings to continue to direct our attention to you, or that we may be stirred, our affections would be stirred for you, Father, to draw us into a closer and deeper walk with you. God, move us. Move us to a place where we would just willingly prostrate ourselves before you because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your power. Lord, we love you. In your name, amen.